The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Beautiful. We got it. We've come away from all the church cliche into the Word of God. Hallelujah. No more church cliche in this church. It's the Word of God you proclaim and you confess it with your mouth, with your heart. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for your Word. Thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us, that you're guiding us. Lord, your Word is everlasting, the everlasting. Your Word is life. Your Word guides us, Lord, throughout our life. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your Word will endure through eternity, O God. We thank you, Lord, that your Word alone has guided us and strengthened us, Father. We are people of spirit, and every word that you give us is empowered by the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Holy Spirit, as we walk in the place of obedience, continuing, Lord, our life as followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples, disciplined one that follow Jesus, and every word that comes from this book. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you honor. Watch over your word now to fulfill it. Lord, I pray again that you hide me, that people don't see me or hear me, but they hear your word that comes from you. We give you praise. We give you honor. Give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be back in one service again to worship and praise Him together. It feels normal again. You know what I'm saying? Because we'll try as much as we can to make normal services. It's just I don't like the idea of bringing people like cattle and rushing them out again to bring other lot in. I want fellowship. I want to be able to sit down and have a cup of tea with you after church and talk about life and talk about you and discuss things and build. This is all about fellowship. Church is about fellowship. We come to hear the Word of God and we fellowship after that. It builds us together. And that's the culture of this church. That's why I suggest let's just go back to this and have one fellowship so we can do it together as one mind, one spirit, one accord. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, our message and our journey of obedience hasn't changed. I'm a man of obeying and walking in principles, and I love the Word of God because when we abide by principles, things start to manifest and happen in our lives. Amen? God challenges us to put His Word to practice, not just to be hearers of the Word. Jesus said, let him who have ears hear. Hearing is not just hearing with your ears. It's hearing with your heart and placing His Word inside your heart so that you're able to walk in the place that He wants you to walk. I'm talking this morning about a very serious obstacle in our lives. In the area of obedience and to walk in obedience in God, there's always going to be obstacles. And I think before I started this message, I listed down a few obstacles that are in our way. And one of the major obstacles in our life as disciplined ones that follow Christ is unforgiveness. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that, Pastor. I want to hear about this. This is really good. As we continue in our journey to walking in obedience to God this morning, I want to speak on a topic that most of us love to avoid. Somebody say amen to that. Or is it just me? Or love to ignore or pretend that it is not in our lives. And that's the enemy's strategy. He pretends that you're fine, you're okay, until you truly started to go in walking in the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is one of the most powerful weapons that the devil uses against anyone who dares to follow Jesus Christ. Those who choose to follow Christ, those who dares to follow Christ, will always come against this obstacle. This is a major obstacle in our walk in obedience to Christ, and we have to deal with it. We don't have a choice when it comes to unforgiveness. You have to deal with it. I want to remind you that pride will keep you in a place of unforgiveness. I've learned a lot since walking in this place of obedience. And like I said, as a pastor of the church, my responsibility and my accountability is more because I stand here bringing the Word of God to you. Amen? Just when I thought that I've learned everything, God keeps breaking me down and teaching me humility. That's a key word right here. Humility. Pride is when we compare our strengths against the weakness of others. That's pride. Pride is when, in an effort to elevate our own values, we pull other people's values down, other people's opinions down. But I want to say to you, any opinion that is based on the Word of God is what we must stand on, because that's the truth. If people say, oh, you're judging me. No, that's what the world tells you. When you speak the truth to people, they'll tell you that you're judging them. The Bible tells me that I speak to correct you. I speak to build you up. I speak to bring correction to you, not to judge you. The Word itself will judge you. I'm not the one that's judging you. It's the Word. When you bring the Word to the people, it's not your Word. It's God's Word. And all our job is to bring that with love and grace to the people. Hallelujah. You know, I talked about those who chose to walk in sin. If they continue to walk in sin, you can't change them. All you have to do is dust your feet and hand them over to the devil. Mm-hmm. It does work, I can tell you that. That's why Jesus said, just dust your feet and walk away. Until our identity is formed in Christ, we strive to create our own value and elevating ourselves above other people's values. The people will do that when they are insecure. Hello, somebody. Am I speaking to myself this morning? Praise the Lord. It's a serious topic that we have to discuss. And we have to say, God, speak to me about these things. Because it is important for us to really, truly function in fire of the Holy Spirit. Our hearts have to be walking in forgiveness to each other. Forgiveness is not self-help advice. It is a command from Jesus. It is not some recommendation that you should walk in. It's a command. Jesus, when he says, forgive, he is not asking you. He is commanding you to do it. Because he knows that when you start walking in the place of forgiveness, everything that has been for you, every blessing that is bestowed upon you or for you will come to you. To ask God's forgiveness of your sins and then withhold forgiveness to others. Others, meaning he, someone that he will judge. He himself, God, will judge. He himself created that person. It is not for us to hold grudges against anybody. God calls it weakness on the level of pushing God off his throne. You become God when you start walking in unforgiveness. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. When we withhold forgiveness, we are playing God. We're taking God's place in trying to walk in unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is an issue of pride. I said that before. How dare they treat me like that? Anybody ever said that? No, it's just me. How dare they say that to me? How dare? You know, I learned something in walking in God, and I was glad that I learned that in my early walk with Christ. Never to answer your critics. You know, I learned that from my dad. My dad he told me these things. And I never used to see it until I read the Word of God. Never to answer your critics. And every time you answer your critics, you add fuel to the fire. Hallelujah. Unforgiveness is an issue. How dare they speak to me like that? Or how dare they treat me like that? Don't they know who I am? Anybody has ever said that, anything like that? Or it's just me? Oh, we have a perfect church. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that's going that way. How can a true Christian who was bought at a price, listening, and no longer belong to himself, turn and demand honor and justice for himself? That's not our place. Hallelujah. What is wrong with that picture? Do you see why God will call that person a wicked servant? If they do not forgive, do you not see how a person could fall away from grace and lose their future inheritance of salvation by choosing not to forgive their brother or their sister? Hallelujah. It's a sobering message for this morning, for us to look back. This is fundamental. For you to go before and walk in victory, that's fundamental stuff. That's stuff that we need to really deal with first. Because it's not just, you know, sometimes we blame the devil for everything. But this thing here, the enemy will play along with it until you realize that you can't get rid of it anymore. Jesus never said a person who doesn't forgive is a false believer. This is what he said. He said, you will fall away. Listen to what he says. He said, a believer who doesn't forgive will not be forgiven themselves. Oh, that's strong words. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. In other words, whatever you bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loose in heaven. The key of victory and walking in victory is in your hands. Hallelujah. But if you do not forgive man their trespasses, neither will your Father, listening, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness says to God, I don't believe your word and I don't trust you, so I'm going to go and fight this battle myself. That's unforgiveness. When you're a person that walks like that, you remove God from his throne and you said, I know how to fight this battle. I've dealt with people like that. And I keep going, listen, you need to stop focusing on the problem and look at what God is saying to you. When we don't forgive others, we are not continuing God's kindness and we are in danger of being cut off. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. It says, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity, but towards you, he says, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off. These are strong words. Strong words. Hallelujah. Here are some of the questions for us to answer this morning. You can write it down or you don't have to answer it to me. Well, number one, it says, who would you still like to see punished for what they did to you? Me, Pastor. Good question. Number two, who do you want restitution from? You know, we call ourselves people of God. But this problem is in everybody. There's always a little bit there that if we hold on to it, that's a foothold in your life that the enemy has. And it becomes a stronghold if you continue to refuse to get rid of it. Hallelujah. Those are the people you must forgive today if you are wise and expect to have eternal life. Hallelujah. Kingdom living is totally different. Jesus said, you have heard that said that you shall not commit adultery. But then he says, but I say, kingdom standard is higher than what is said. What is a normal cliche of Christian walk? Kingdom standard is higher than that. Hallelujah. Forgiveness does not mean that what they did to you wasn't wrong. Forgiveness means you trust God to right the wrong. That's what forgiveness is. Hallelujah. And it means that you will not miss heaven as a wicked servant because you did God's will. Hallelujah. Bible says, pray. Jesus said, this is how you pray. Pray that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus' will is walking in forgiveness. God's will is for us to have righteousness, blameless, and holiness before God. Hallelujah. As I have always said, your greatest weapon against the devil is your obedience to the word of God. Obedience breaks everything that comes against you. You've got to get that into your spirit today. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not anyone or everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. Everything rotates back to the will of the Father. When we want to do something in life, let's ask ourselves, is this good or is it right? Good things, you know, are not always from God. It's always the right things that are from God. Always ask your question, is this good or is it right? I'd rather follow after what is right. Why? Because what is right comes from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Good things the world gives to you. The world likes to throw things at you that are good, but not right. Hallelujah. The great Apostle Paul, a man that truly understands and experienced God's forgiveness. If ever there was a man on earth that deserves forgiveness from God, that's Paul. He used to be called Saul. He was a serial killer. You know what a serial killer is? A person that killed so many people. Paul gave the orders for them to kill a lot of Christians. The blood of Christians were in his hand. If ever there was a man that needed forgiveness, that was Paul. Listen to what he says. And I could listen to Paul because I know he's gone through that. A man was a serial killer. And listen to what he says. But one thing I do, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Paul needed to do that. His life was a mess. He couldn't be living on what he used to do. He says, one thing that I will do is forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. He says, I press on towards the goal to win a prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You and I are on the way to heaven or heavenward. And the Bible says we must press towards that. That means all your soul, all your mind, all your spirit, everything that you have, press towards that. Against what the pull of the world is. The pull of the world is like a magnet. They will pull you. That's why Paul said, press towards those things. Because your past is not good. All of you sitting here today, including me, we're all shady characters in our past. Some of you still look like that, but you've got spirit inside of you. I just had to say that because I'm looking at all of you going, if looks could kill, I'll be dodging bullets from up here. Hallelujah. We're all shady characters. This is what Paul said. Forget your past. God says, do not dwell in the past. Your past is never good. Look towards the future. Are you struggling with the shame and the guilt of sinful past? Satan is always using guilt to keep distance between you and God. The wall that comes between you and God is guilt. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Hallelujah. Even though you can't see them, it is clear in Scripture that Satan and his fallen angels are lying spirits. Bunch of liars, those guys. Hallelujah. And they have the ability to send flaming arrows of guilt-ridden, shameful, tempting, and accusing thoughts right into your mind. That's why the Bible says, fill yourself up with the Word of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind by the power of the Word of God inside of you. Hallelujah. Let me just hook that on the Scripture. Let me hook this statement I just said on the Scripture. So you know that I'm not speaking from a women's magazine or your horoscope or devil's scope. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 15. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. John chapter 13, verse 2. It says, supper being served, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. This is the devil at work in your minds and in your hearts. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the prize of the land for yourselves? This is the devil working. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Didn't tell you go and fight. You don't fight anything. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. You put on your breastplate of righteousness and your full armor of God, your helmet of salvation, and then what it says, you stand. Because he fights the battles for you. Every time you go and fight battles for yourself, you're telling God that you don't trust him to do it for you. Hallelujah. That's a key thing. That's why the principle of this church or the theme of this church is ten up and let God fight the battles for you. Start learning to leave God fight the battles for you. Sometimes it's really good to just shut up sometimes. I made the greatest mistake of my life to argue with my wife sometimes. And I've learned a terrible lesson and as I'm preparing the message, God says, sometimes you got to shut up too. Hallelujah. Their goal is to create distance between you and God, rendering you spiritually important, robbing him of his glory. Others, Satan rob God from his glory. You, because you carry his glory. You reveal God's glory. And the whole earth shall be what? Filled with his glory. Not some dog, animal, or pussycat, or tree. You, my friend. You carry the presence and the glory of God. And when you walk in unforgiveness, you rob God of his glory. Oh, somebody say amen to that. God doesn't get the glory from people who walk in sucking on lemon juice. Hallelujah. You win this battle like all other spiritual battles. How? By faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Your prayer is in the closet. That's where you fight, inside the closet. You just bring your prayer to God. He does the fighting for you. You access and receive and walk in God's forgiveness by faith. By faith, we do everything by faith. Hallelujah. No matter how many times you mess up or how bad it was, if you are still alive, let me tell you something. If you're still alive today, healthy and strong, God is being merciful to you and giving you more time to get it right with Him. That's God's grace upon our lives. If you're still alive today, He's saying there's some stuff that you need to get rid of. There's things that you got to achieve in your life. I am being merciful upon you so that you can achieve those things. Hallelujah. Thank God that you're breathing today. You're alive today. You could be living in sin and die tomorrow. And that's the worst thing that can ever happen to you. I feel too ashamed to go back to God because I have made some wrongs. Sometimes people say things like that. You hear that from people all the time. I'm too ashamed to go back because I've done that. I'm too ashamed to go back to church because I've done this. Listen, Pastor Carl just gave us a powerful picture of God's grace and forgiveness. Moses, what a champion. I'm getting too hot in here. Can I just move this closer? Starting to feel the sweat running on my back. My hair's getting wet. And it's just, it's crazy up here. Hallelujah. Oh, that's better. What a great example of grace we got from the message of communion this morning. That touched me. Moses said, put me in the place of these people. Oh, hallelujah. Who can say that to God? That these people have done that, so let me just take their place. Hallelujah. I like what Carl said. Moses' spirit go to heaven, but his blood cannot change us. And it's only God, Jesus' blood, that can change us. Hallelujah. Satan wants to say, you messed up so bad that nobody likes you anymore. Let me tell you a little secret about walking in victory. Stop making people trying to like you. Once you know that nobody likes you, your life is going to be really great in God. I'm serious. Once you know that nobody likes you, you're going to have so much fun in life. Because you're not going to try and leave to make people like you. Listen, God likes me. Jesus loves me. I know who I am in Christ. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. I'm happy with that. I didn't crawl up I didn't come out of a sea like a salamander and turn into a gorilla or something, or a monkey and swing around on a tree, so I don't know myself. I know who I came from. Jeremiah 1:5 tells me, before you were in your mother's womb, oh, hallelujah, I knew you. That's enough for you to say, I don't even care about what people think about me. I love me, I love myself. I can move on with life now. So don't go try and making people like you. Don't try to be hanging around people that you think you're going to be so cool with them. There's a message in that one too. Hallelujah. Humble yourself before God. Show Him that you are taking His word and His prayer seriously, and He will lift you up and restore you. God doesn't want you to fight this battle on your own. Forgiveness, unforgiveness is a terrible thing. Unforgiveness is sin, and it's just as wicked to withhold forgiveness from yourself as it is from others. Who hasn't forgiven herself or himself today? Have you truly forgiven yourself and moved on with life? Amen. Now we're getting somewhere. Now I see that we are going to be people that are going to walk in victory. Hallelujah. If you need help fearing the Lord, easy. Go and read Revelation chapter 8, chapter 9. That's enough to instill fear in you. Read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 to 31. That's enough to instill fear in you. A true fear and reverence of God so that you can walk in wisdom in life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to 16 says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in what? Ignorance. Ignorance is the greatest enemy to you and I. But just as He who called you is holy, oh, hallelujah, so be holy all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Jesus, when He walked around, He says, be holy just like my Father in heaven who is holy. He doesn't want you to go, bah, bah, bah. No, He doesn't want all that. He said, just shut up and be holy. Be righteous and walk with according to the word of God. Hallelujah. I believe unforgiveness is the biggest obstacle preventing you and I from experience life to the full. I talked about life to the full. Jesus said, I have come so that you may have what? Life, and life abundantly. Life abundantly doesn't come when we walk in place of unforgiveness. So many Christians or people that call themselves Christians are in denial of the role this could be playing in hindering their walk in Christ. We got to give people the truth. We cannot play around with people's souls. See, your spirit is saved going to heaven. Your body is going to go corrupt and go under this earth. But your soul is what the devil is fighting for. That's your mind, your will, your emotions. That's what the enemy is fighting for every time. You look around the world today, the souls of people are taken over by the enemy. Hallelujah. You can be saved going to heaven, but your soul is in trouble if you don't fill it with the Word of God. If you keep watching something that you're not supposed to be watching, that's going to be in your soul. That's going to be in your subconscious mind, what the Bible calls the deeper inside of you. That's the hard drive that carries every information that you put in. The Bible calls it the heart. As a man thinks, so is he. What does he think from? Heart issues. Hallelujah. You know, someone will be benefiting so much from this unforgiveness that you and I are walking in. And who is going to be benefiting from that? Satan himself. You know, three times in the Bible, he tells me, Bible connects anger and unforgiveness directly to Satan and his tormentors. Matthew chapter 18, verse 33-34. I want you to write the scriptures, and if you go through them with me, because this is part of our home group sessions where we're going to build people up. Your neighbor is going to come in, and you're going to be telling them about these things. We're going to be building up people and build people up into the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 18, verse 33-34 says, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26-27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Somebody say amen. Amen. And do not give the devil what? A foothold. A foothold is something where he can grab all onto and hang on to that. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10-11. It says, anyone you forgive, I also forgive. But what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Be smart about these things. There are two kinds of Christians, those who are free from sinful behavior, patterns, thinking, and addiction, and those who are not. The church is full of them. I hope I'm not speaking to one today. Am I speaking to anyone today that is a problem? We're going to pray for you. You know, a common denominator, if you look at people who are walking in slavery of sin, it's people who walk in unforgiveness. On the other hand, it's people who walk in victory are the people who walk in freedom. They've forgiven everybody in their life, including themselves, and they've moved on with life. Hallelujah. Most of them were not consciously aware of the deep-rooted unforgiveness. Most thought they had already forgiven. Is there anyone like that? I had to check my own life. I had to go back and ask the Holy Ghost if there's anything in my life that I have missed. That is there somebody that I need to forgive? There's somebody that I need to release? Please remind me so that I can do it. I want you to pray this prayer this morning for yourself. God, remind me of people that I need to forgive. People that I need to release. Hallelujah. If we truly want to see breakthrough and revival and things that are happening inside our lives, then walk in the place of forgiveness. Hallelujah. Not just righteousness and holiness, but forgiveness. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. It says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Hallelujah. We must remember that true forgiveness is defined by God. God is the one that tells you that you have truly forgiven. You can tell God and still carry it inside your heart, God, I've forgiven them. No, God has to tell you that you have truly forgiven someone. It is Him that will tell you. Hallelujah. God defines forgiveness for us, not in our own terms. You have no terms when it comes to forgiving people. It's a command. It's not a good idea. It's a command from Jesus. That's why Proverbs 21 tells me, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but listen to what it says, but God weighs the heart. It's God that knows. Your mouth can speak that you're forgiven, but God says, God, I see your heart. God looks straight through the heart. If God thinks we haven't forgiven, that's all that matters. If He says you have not forgiven someone, that's all that matters. You've got to go back and rethink about this. Hallelujah. Regardless of how we think or feel or how easily we can talk about it. Some people like to talk about that they're forgiving somebody, but inside their hearts, they have not really released anybody. Like to talk about it. See, a testimony of your life, to be able to stand here and speak with power, speak with fire and clarity, and know that you've got nothing inside your heart, that becomes a powerful testimony. And they overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. That's a powerful thing. But if you have not been delivered from your past or your unforgiveness, then it does not mean that it's become a testimony. It is not yet a testimony until you have been truly delivered from that. Then you can be able to stand and speak. Hallelujah. John chapter 8, verse 31. It says, Jesus said to the believers, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave does not have the ability to free himself, regardless of how much self-control we may have in our lives. No matter how many self-control you have to stop you from doing things or to make New Year's resolution every year that doesn't follow through. Hello, somebody. You need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can make you make resolutions that will stop you from living the lifestyle you've lived before. Your own self-willpower or your own self-control cannot win this battle. Hallelujah. A slave is a bondage, and according to Jesus in John chapter 8, 34, can only be set free by the Son. And when the Son sets you free, you shall be what? Free indeed. Hallelujah. I have concluded after hearing the torment of many people. I always go back, and I said, if you come to me with a problem, I will ask you first thing, how's your relationship with God? How's your prayer life? How's your communication with God? Because we cannot fight these battles on our own strength and try to fix things ourselves. It's only God and through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest way of counseling. See, no psychologist can change you because they don't know you. No psychologist created you to be able to know you. It's God that knows your spirit because He created your spirit. There's a clear evidence in the Bible, the story of King Saul, where he disobeyed God and went then was turned over to the torment of an evil spirit from God. And I used that before. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14 to 15. Hallelujah. Remember, God, like I said, is in control of every situation. But you and I must learn to give everything to Him. My friends, my family, my good people here this morning, our battles are against the principalities and powers of high places. Hallelujah. Therefore, we need the Holy Ghost. We truly need the Holy Spirit and clear discernment to be able to withstand the attacks. Our job is to what? Withstand, not fight. You're not called to go and fight no battles. You're called to stand. The Bible tells me, put on your full armor and stand. Hallelujah. The Bible tells me also in James, he says, what? Resist the devil. And he said, what? Flee. Hallelujah. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We don't fight the devil. We resist him and he will flee. That's how you fight or walk in your spiritual life with God. Going out to fight your battles, like I said before, you have distrusted God and don't allow God to fight battles for you anymore. The most powerful weapon that I know, that I use all the time, is never to answer my critics. People speak against me, talk behind my back, do all this stuff. I have a cup of tea and sleep well at night. Gavin, cup of tea, sleep well at night. Hallelujah. Let them roll in the torment. That's God's job to deal with them. I don't have a problem to do with them. If they speak against me or talk against me, and listen, it's the same thing for you. It's the most powerful weapon that you can use against the devil is never to answer your critics. You'll be reading that. You know, the emails is the worst thing when you try to send emails to people. Somebody says something to you and you're just writing the emails like, and put all sorts of signs and devil horns and the whole thing and just really trying to get it across. It's a fact of life. Hallelujah. There are times when I'm sitting in front of the computer and going, I'm just going to try. Type something there and just get you. And the Holy Ghost said, just relax. Go to bed, have a cup of tea. Hallelujah. That's a nice t-shirt now. When we print a new t-shirt, Living Light Gospel Church. Relax. At the back, have a cup of tea. Chill out. Let God deal with our problems. Amen? Listen, when we become people like that, you are going to walk in victory. Hallelujah. I can guarantee you that. Why? It's happening to me. I'm not sharing some people's stories. I'm sharing my own story to you. Hallelujah. And you can do that to your other friends and family that are around you. And walk in victory. Hallelujah. That is why you don't need psychologists to tell you that you are living in unforgiveness. Jovita said, amen. Pastor. I'm looking at Jovita because she's studying psychology. You bring your Bible to your sessions, and when they started talking about this, you open your Bible. Hallelujah. That's powerful. You know, why did I say that? I'll tell you something. You can tell by clear signs. I'm going to give you some signs. Are you ready for the signs? Everybody say, yes, Pastor, I'm ready. I will give you the major signs and consequences to back it up so you know that I'm not coming from Women's Magazine or from any other magazine. It's from the Word of God. I will lock it into Scripture. Hallelujah. Major signs that you haven't forgiven as God forgives. Number one, you want to hear that? You say, I've forgiven them, but I haven't forgotten what they did. Number one. Number two, you continue to look for agreement with others about how horrible people have treated you. And you want to get them to agree with you. That's a good sign. Are you checking yourself right now? Hallelujah. Number three, when you see them or hear their name, you experience an increase in aggressive negative thoughts, volume of rage, speech, tension, heart rate, sweat, upset stomach, high blood pressure. I'll tell you a funny picture. Anyone ever watched Fresh Prince of Bel-Air? There was one part where Will was walking towards Uncle Phil. And Uncle Phil was getting a doctor's checkup, and the doctor had the stethoscope on his heart. And you could hear from the sounds from the TV. And the closer Will gets to him, they say, and the Will comes really close. That's number three. You get high blood pressure, all this stuff, when a name is mentioned to you. I'm going to be watching. Hallelujah. You still demand they make restitution. You still want to see them punished, and if given the opportunity, you will punish them. Ready? Hallelujah. Major biblical consequences of unforgiveness. Write it down quickly. I'll go through it quickly. It's part of our discipleship training as well in home group. Robs you of God's presence, blessings, and truth. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. If you miss it, it's going to be on the iPod. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. John chapter 15, verse 10, and Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. Number three, tormented in your thoughts by evil spirits, which leads to other sins and bondage. Matthew chapter 18, verse 34. This is serious stuff. Take the word of God with you. Opens the door for Satan to attack you, getting a stronghold on your life and taking you captive to do his will. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 11, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Willful unforgiveness is wickedness which will prevent you from entering eternal life. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. Now let me just give you some keys of forgiveness and I'll close. Hallelujah. Remember that God's continued to forgive you of your sins is conditional upon your forgiveness of other people's sins. God says, I will forgive you if you forgive them. And if you don't forgive them, then I will not forgive you. Powerful statement. Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. Hallelujah. Forgive out of obedience and not your feelings. Somebody say amen to that. You don't feel that you need to forgive someone. You forgive them out of the commandment of God, out of the obedience of the word of God. We are in the discipline of obedience to the word of God. Therefore, we have no excuse whatsoever. You don't forgive people out of feelings. You forgive them out of obedience to the word of God. God says, forgive them. You shut up and forgive them. That's it. There's no ifs, buts, or everything else. Straightforward. I love the word of God. If God is talking to us like that, I'm willing to receive it and take it with me. Hallelujah. John chapter 14, verse 21, and Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Forgive fast before Satan gets a foothold and turns it into a root of bitterness, which will what? Defile you. Hallelujah. If you have anything, like Papa Joe said, drop it. Let it go. Release it now. Don't hold on to little things. You go, oh, yeah, that's really, really small. I'm going to, you know, the more you not wanting to get rid of little things, it becomes something that Satan will grab hold on to, and it grows and becomes bitterness in your life. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. I'm going to ask the musicians to come as I finish with this because I want to pray. I believe we need to pray about these things. And I'm willing to open the altar here today to pray with you. Hallelujah. Trust God that God sees all wrongs committed against you and leave, somebody listen to this, leave all vengeance and justice to Him. Trust Him that He will fight the battles for you. Hallelujah. Dealing with so many people like that. And I'm saying, God, am I reading the same Bible as them? Or is it just their ability to try to walk in obedience to your word? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 15, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. And Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Trust God that He will commit Himself to righting the wrongs that people have done to you. And the last one is, remember that your real enemy is Satan. And he simply uses disobedience of others to get and keep you offended, which removes God's favor upon your life. As long as you stay offended against people, you will never walk in the true blessing of God. Satan will use that to keep all of God's blessings away from you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. Hallelujah. Am I speaking to somebody this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. One of the first things I ever did with my life is forgive those who have done wrong to me. Because I want to see God's blessings in my life. When I read this scripture, when God says, if you don't forgive those who trespass against you, then I will not forgive you. Those are strong words. And I said, no, I need to do this for my own sake. For me to be able to become a person of a blessing, that whatever I walk in, that my children will benefit from that. The generation that comes from after me will inherit the blessing that I walk in, the principles that I walk in. We must remember that we don't think about ourselves today. Think about your children. Think about your grandchildren. Think about their children. Hallelujah. Your life will come to an end and you will go. But they have a life to live on. Then they will suffer the consequences of what you actually have sowed into their lives. And if it's forgiveness, It will stay from generation to generation to generation until you break that in your life. These are simple things. You may have heard this before, but I'm praying and I'm saying to you this morning, these are key principles for us to now take on board in our walk in obedience to God. Hallelujah. When you become a person like that, nothing, no enemy, no devil, no demon, nothing, nobody can pull you down from the place that you're in. When you're a person of forgiveness, your heart is so soft and pliable, easy for God to reach in and touch and transform. Hallelujah. I was a proud man. I was one of those guys that want to be right every time. Fighting for your rights, how people like to say that. I'm fighting for my rights. You have no right when it comes to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The only right you have, listen, the only right you have is His word. He gave you His word. And when you read His word and it says, if you don't forgive people, then I will not forgive you. That's your right. You bring it to God and God says, yes, you do exactly what I've asked you to do. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. I want to open the altar to God, the Holy Spirit. I want to ask the musicians to sing. And I want to give us just some time for God to move in our hearts. If you have something today, if you're getting to remember something, if the Holy Ghost is bringing to remember some of the things that you need to release, whether it's small or big, I urge you to do it today. This is not some nice message that you're going to forget by Tuesday, like I said. These are principles of the Word of God. When we start to apply it, you will see the power become true in your life. The manifestation of the power of God follows after those who are holy and blameless before Him, because He works through you. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to just ask God today for a few minutes. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to just hear the word and go. I want you to give some time to the Holy Spirit, because He's the one that is speaking to us this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Jason and the team. Hallelujah. I want us to worship. And if there's anything that you need for prayer, I want to pray with you this morning.